What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you have a water leak and can't find where it's coming from? Are you dealing with water or mold damage in your home or business? Then call Water Cleanup of Florida at 954-579-0356 for immediate assistance. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, and their team is prepared to handle all types of leak detection issues, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. After the leak has been located and repaired, Water Cleanup of Florida will then clean, dry, and fully restore the damaged areas. Water Cleanup of Florida is fully licensed, insured, and certified to provide the one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. There is no need to bring in other contractors. They will handle the entire project from start to finish. Service areas include Miami, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356, or visit their website at WCUFL.com. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
Chris and the guys at Greenview Construction LLC are a firm offering professional services in design and, of course, construction. And they are proud to announce that they've completed design and 3D renderings for two spec home models located in the Jupiter and Palm Beach Gardens area, sitting on over 1 acre lots. Now, they've got four lots available for these model homes. The first is a British West Indies model style, totaling just over 4,500 square foot, air-conditioned space, five bedrooms, five bathrooms, and they boast 16-foot ceilings in some areas. The second, more traditional style home, 3,100 square foot, air-conditioned space, four bedrooms and four baths. They boast 14-foot ceilings in some areas. Both models will have a free-flowing layouts that connect the kitchen, the family room, living room, library, a den, and outdoor lanai. And both models will have an option to add a detached in-law suite if you really want the in-laws to move in, and a garage totaling an additional 1,000 square foot. You can visit Chris and the team online at www.greenviewconstruction.com. You can email Chris Tyson, that's C-Tyson, as in Mike Tyson, C-Tyson, at greenviewconstruction.com. Or you can call 561-727-5013. They're also on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they're on Twitter. Just look for Greenview Construction. And if that wasn't enough, they have an appointment-only showroom at 715 Commerce Way West, Suite 14 in Jupiter, Florida.
This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick two, three, or four players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick two or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Guess who's here? Speaking to the microphone.
Hello?
Oh, who's that?
It's I tried to think of somebody and I couldn't.
It's actually just me. I'm doing the trick with my voice again.
It's Chevy Chase.
It's Simon Clancy. And of course, Chris Coughlin, you just heard his voice. He blew his introduction. But yes, it's all three of us. As one listener kept bugging Chris Coughlin over and over and over again 2 weeks ago, we completely suck when we don't have Simon.
It's fair.
So obviously this show is not going to suck because Simon is here.
Simon's like, yeah, you do kind of suck without me.
And as always, the show is brought to you by Better Edge. Okay. BetterEdge.com/5, the number 5 reasons for $20 sign up bonus. And of course, Manscaped. Use the promo code 5RSN, get 20% off your entire order. Right now, they're up to the 4.0. Did you know, Simon, that they're up to the 4.0?
I didn't, but it's a beautiful thing. I took mine on holiday with me, shaved my nutsack every day.
every day? Really?
Every day, mate.
Well, you got to keep the upkeep. It's important, especially when you're on vacation.
Especially when you get to our age, you know, you've got fucking hairs growing everywhere. It's like, it was working harder than my missus.
And it is pretty hot in Colombia. By the way, hot. Were you surprised, Simon, that if I told you that Chris Coughlin got the pronunciation of Colombia right after one try and one prompt by me? Could you believe that?
I could absolutely believe it. I mean, he's the GOAT.
Yes, he's a pro. Say it for Simon, Chris.
Yeah.
Now that you want me to say it, I don't want to say it.
No, don't say it now.
Well, is there too much pressure now? Is there too much pressure?
Now there's too much pressure. There's clearly
too much pressure. It's like going up to a comedian and saying, tell me a joke, buddy.
Hey, do it. Be funny.
Be funny. Do something funny. Yeah. Do something funny.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Doesn't work like that. Genius doesn't work like that, Alf. It just has to come.
Well, you know, obviously we're not going to spend too much time on this game against the Raiders on Saturday. We might do 10 minutes on it, but we're going to talk about this week in practice. And I don't know what you picked up, Simon, but people were having children online on Tuesday because Tua Tagovailoa was picked off like 1,000 times, actually just 3, but it was pretty bad. He had a bad practice. I called it excremental. I don't know what you made of that practice, but he followed it up with 2 pretty good practices this week. But something has emerged. And I said it today on, I don't know, I did about 1,000 shows today. I actually did a Bills podcast today, okay? My problem is I don't say no to anybody. You know what I mean? Like, you want me to talk into a microphone for 5 minutes, I'll do it. But I said today, had Martians landed on our field this week, and that would have been a hell of a set because I would have been out in practice. I would have been able to document it on the 3 yards per carry Twitter account and on OnlyFans. You know, like that would have been huge breaking news. Like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here at Dolphins training facility and Martians have landed on the 50-yard line. Like, that would have been awesome. But had they done that and you'd ask them, okay, who's the best football player here? They would have said that guy wearing number 8. Javon Holland put on an absolute show this week, Simon. I guess we'll start there.
Yeah, I mean, this shouldn't be news to anybody. He's an absolute stud. And I think, you know, you're going to get in the conversation now of, you know, he's probably a top 8-10 safety in the league right now. I think, you know, if all things are equal, he stays healthy. I think you're looking at a top 3-4 guy if he progresses in the way that it feels like he's going to. You know, he's just so smart. You see him leading the warm-ups. You see him doing all these things. He's just the captain of the defense. He's everywhere. He's got such great range. He's just athletic. He's a great tackler. He's a instinct. You know, he should be he talked today about, look, he wanted quarterbacks to fear him. He wants to make the Pro Bowl. I personally think the Pro Bowl is not beneath him because that sounds awful, but I think that, you know, it will be a not disappointing season, but, you know, he should be an All-Pro. He should be an All-Pro safety, and I think that's what he should be aiming at. And yeah, I understand that he doesn't come out and say that because then you're setting false expectations potentially, but to me that's where Javon Holland should be. That's where I thought he would be when he was at Oregon, and so I'm not surprised by how good he is. He's just a sensational player in a passing league where you need these kind of guys.
I love that I saw a fellow teammate talk about like how he makes some plays that he shouldn't be able to make, you know. Mm-hmm. and It's interesting because, you know, when you see Belichick, I don't know. Belichick did a thing with Ed Reed a while ago. It might have been a year or two ago. And you could just like see the, you know, the, you never see Belichick this way, right? But Belichick was just like, you know, he's just like awe-inspired by Ed Reed, just like I'm standing in the presence of Ed Reed, you know, because he's talking about plays that like Ed Reed could make on the field that he should not have been able to make, you know. like he's, and that's why he respects him so much as a deep safety, as a safety in general, is you know, as a coach, these guys, and as a player, these guys know where the guys should be able to get to and where they shouldn't necessarily be able to get to, you know, because a lot of the game planning and a lot of the route construction and you know, the entire orchestration of the offense is based on the abilities of certain positions when they're in certain coverages and so on and so forth. And so they know what you should and shouldn't be able to get to and what you should be safe doing and what, you know, might not be so safe doing. And I think that's where Javon Holland is starting to get to in his career. And we'll see in the regular season, he's got to follow it up. He's getting to places that coaches don't think he should be able to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he was saying. Actually, he said what he actually made this distinction. I thought it was interesting. He said, I don't want quarterbacks to fear me. He said, I want coaches to fear me. He said, I want coaches to fear me. I don't want to be afraid of me. I don't want quarterbacks necessarily to be afraid of me. And I thought that was a really interesting quote of his, or distinction. And I think that's part of it, is because, like, you know, don't dare against me. That's what he's basically saying, and not on the quarterback level, but on a coaching game planning level. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that Wednesday, two interceptions and one PBU. The PBU, I think, was better than the two interceptions. That play, it was play action. Tua gets the setup he likes, and Tyreek beats his man. I'm not going to tell you who it was. You can guess. And Tyreek gets deep. And I'm like, oh, here come the fireworks, you know, get ready for sex again. He uncorks that ball. And I think the best word, Travis Wingfield of the Dolphins, he works for the Dolphins media, and he gave me the best word. He said, Javon Holland just materializes on the spot. I'm watching this play, and I'm like, whoa, they just gave up a 65-yard touch. Oh, no, they didn't, because Javon Holland comes out of nowhere to break up that pass. And Tyreek Hill is just standing there like, okay, I was open a second ago. How come this guy just showed up out of nowhere? That's how he's been. It's not that he's Johnny on the spot. He's Johnny on every spot. And it was consensus. Everybody in the media was there on Wednesday saying, okay, this is going to be the easiest orange jersey in the history of orange jerseys. And sure enough, he had it the next day. And he was pretty, you know, he was peacocking with it around. He was trying to get it back to back, because he said nobody's ever had it back to back and he wanted to be the first. Well, he got another interception, so maybe he gets the orange jersey once again. I think he's just been fabulous. And now that we talk about the fabulous, let's talk about what's not so fabulous. And I'll start with you, Simon. Coach has reiterated over and over and over again, we are not going to do anything to hurt our goal. And our goal is to have Byron Jones ready for week one, which means, if you read between the lines, he's not playing in preseason. He's probably not practicing in preseason. He's probably going to practice the 2 weeks before week one. But till then, Trill Williams is out for the year. They signed Mackenzie Alexander. What's happening at CB4?
I mean, I think you're in a battle with Noah Igbinoghene to make the team. The Mac Alexander thing, I mean, I don't know what you think, Chris, but I'm not sold that Alexander makes the team. I mean, he's bounced around the league, you know, second round draft pick, but, you know, has struggled. And I think, you know, to me, you're looking at the guaranteed players that are on the roster who play cornerback are obviously Xavier Howard, are obviously Nick Needham, are obviously Byron Jones, are obviously Keon Crossan, because I think Crossan will be a special teams captain. Mm. And he's had a decent camp. I think Kader Kohu stands a chance. I think there is a battle between Igbinoghene and Alexander, although I think Alexander will probably play inside, Noah outside. And then you're looking at, you know, Quincy Wilson, another second round pick. Who's the kid? The kid out of New Mexico, D'Angelo Ross, is it? The kid that was on the Patriots for a couple of years. Elijah Campbell, obviously, who Chris talked about. The Northern Iowa kid, who again has bounced around the league, bounced around a couple of leagues, really, both the NFL and the, I think he played in the AAF or the AAAF or whatever it's called. So I think I think by default, you almost have to have Noah in the team, on the team, because I think that, I don't know, do you weaken two positions by moving Nick Needham outside if Byron Jones can't play week one against the Patriots? Therefore, you are weakening the slot position and essentially you're weakening the outside position because Noah, because Nick plays inside. Or do you just play a Noah or a Keon Cross and outside and keep Nick Needham in the slot? I don't really know. That's a decision for the coaches. But yeah, I think it's, you know, the other thing is, look, there are going to be cut down guys. There are going to be things that happen. There might be trades. You know, the Dolphins obviously are not shy about trying to trade. They obviously tried to trade Adam Shaheen. You look at that wide receiver group, you know, somebody, there has been interest already reported in Lynn Bowden. There's been interest in Preston Williams. You kind of feel like Wilson, Waddle, Sherfield, Hill, Azukanama make the team. They'll probably keep six. Is that Braylon Sanders? Is that Lynn Bowden? Hmm. You know, is that Mo Sanu? Will that be Craycraft? But you kind of feel like somebody might be trading a receiver potentially for a DB. Who knows? So I don't think anything's cut and dried yet. But I don't think Byron Jones will play week one. Just an instinct I have. I just don't think he'll play.
I share that. I think it's leaning that way. As for Mac Alexander, you had a great quote. It was in OnlyFans. He said that I think his last great game that he played was in college. Yeah. And you know, I think that
that's, I hate to interrupt you, but I did a dig. I did a little dive onto Mac Alexander. He had one spectacular game in 2018. Want to guess who it was against?
Miami.
Yes, nailed it. Yeah. He had like four PBUs. He had an interception and he had a sack against Ryan Tannehill in the game.
Was that in preseason or was that?
It was in the regular season toward the end of the year.
Are you sure it was not? It was regular season. I seem to remember a preseason game. Yeah. I think I remember a preseason game where I want to say Jakeem Grant actually clowned him on a play. Like
he did. He did. It was that year as well.
Oh, was it? Okay. All right. Yeah. But anyway, Mac Alexander, I actually kind of wonder, I think just because of the fact that they danced around it a little bit in the press conference, or Mike McDaniel danced around it a little bit. It was sort of like, it was weird because it was like, you know, I'm never going to pigeonhole the guy and say that he's a slot or he's an outside or something like that. But it was also like, but he's a slot. You know, like it was yeah, kind of like read between the lines. And so the fact that they signed a slot with NFL skins on the wall is interesting to me, because to me it makes me wonder if they are starting to solidify what they want to do or how they want the position to look and be composed, how they want the composition of that corner spot to be in the regular season when they carry it on the 53, and fitting together a guy like Mac Alexander in the slot, because maybe they don't have enough slot depth. And so I look at it, because Keon Crossan plays on the outside. That's his history. Byron Jones, you know, we know that he can shift inside, but, you know, he's been outside. Xavier Howard, we kind of know at this point, we don't necessarily want him moving inside. Nick Needham, interestingly enough, his whole first year with the Dolphins in 2019, he played, it was probably five outside corner, and in the position moving Nick outside versus inside. I actually think that that's interesting because it was sort of like he was an outside guy in his rookie year. Then he was an inside guy for 2 years. And so they might be thinking that he is just number three, period. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and so if Byron Jones is out, now he's number two, you know? And so I think that that's, that could be where they're leaning with him because he has the background at both positions, outside and inside, to maybe be confident in him doing that. But I think that they're kind of, when you sign a guy that like Mac that has the slot experience, I think that you might be starting to hone in on what the composition is going to be when the regular season starts. But I think you're correct. And it makes a lot of sense when you say, Alf, that you're getting the feeling that they want Cade or Coho, that they want to see what he has.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's not much time left, you know? And so, yeah. So I kind of, and his injury definitely set things back. So I kind of,
it's also been a mystery too. Like that, our coach is really, really forthcoming on a lot of information, but this team, as far as injury, is never forthcoming. He walked off the field on Thursday in Tampa and has never been seen since. except when they talk him up to us, you know, and they say, oh, wow, this kid has something, you know, he's really, really good. Okay, when is he going to play?
Yeah. You know? Well, that has to be frustrating to them too as well. But and so they're running out of time. So I kind of think that they're leaning toward Mac Alexander actually being on the roster, maybe as like fifth guy. Mm-hmm. So.
I think if Coho doesn't play this weekend, I just can't see him making the roster.
Yeah.
Well, they might try to pass him off through the practice squad. You know, it's not like somebody has to really, really have the book on him to poach him because he hasn't played. He hasn't played at all. By the way, I posted this on OnlyFans. I don't know if you guys saw it. And by the way, you could be on OnlyFans for $3 a month. You're going to get all the information.
How much?
$3 a month.
Shitting hell.
The entire time that you were on vacation, we didn't raise the price.
No, it's $3 a month. Well, we raised the price while you were on vacation to like $400 a month, and then we reduced it back to $3. And we just didn't tell you. We pocketed all that money.
Wow.
But yeah, number 90, Simon. Now, if you read on OnlyFans how to pronounce his name, this is cheating. But do you know how to pronounce number 90's name? And by the way, you're going to have to learn how to pronounce it because that guy's making the roster, all right? That's the new Adam Butler. Like, you know, as soon as they cut Adam Butler, I was like, oh, my God, they're missing something. Not anymore.
Can I take a crack at this? I think it's pronounced Ben.
Okay, it's Ben what, Simon?
I haven't seen this, but is it not Stilly?
Yes, you nailed it. Ben Stilly.
You did not. You looked that up,
How have I had a chance to look? We are doing this live. And it's not like Alf asked me the question 10 minutes ago. And I'm just
I got him cold. The reason I ask these questions cold is so we don't do the fake thing where everything's completely researched and rehearsed. You know what I mean? Yeah. He nailed it. Ben Stilly.
Ah, fuck you, Kaufman.
I think he was. You know what? Frankly, I think he was fucking with you when he said that's how his name is pronounced. I'm not convinced.
You had a go at it, and you couldn't even. You only got Ben.
But yeah, let's do 2 minutes on good old Ben Stilly. Simon, they hit. They found another guy. This guy's the Adam Butler's replacement. I hope it's not at the expense of snaps for Zach Sealer, because Zach Sealer's just, you know, he's Zach Sealer. Like
nobody's taking his snaps.
Wow. He's too good. And of course, Christian Wilkins, Raekwon Davis, those guys are locked in. But man, this kid can play. And they're starting to talk about him like if he can play as well.
Yeah, he's flashed. He's athletic. I think he's just an interesting player. And again, it seems like time after time after time after time, the Dolphins, whether that's Nick Needham, whether that's Zach Sealer, you know, whoever these guys are, the Dolphins are picking up these undrafted free agents, and they got this kid out of Nebraska. You know, and he's just running people over in games. He's, you know, flashing a bit in practice. I think he makes the team. I think you're right. I think he probably is Adam Butler's replacement. You know, and a guy that's just come out of absolutely nowhere, he can probably play inside out in terms of what he does, in terms of his size and his skill set and those sorts of things. And just a really interesting player and a guy that I think will make a decent contribution. I mean, look at his size. I just had to Google it there, but 6'6", 290, you know, big kid, smart kid, you know, his Campbell Trophy semifinalist 2 years running. You know, what does he start? 12 and 21, 8, that's 20 games. Two start 22 games, started 11 games defensive end, so 33 games. Started once in 2017, 34. So he started 34 games for Nebraska. You know, so this is a guy with a ton of experience, you know, playing, you know, academic all Big Ten, 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21. He's bright as an absolute button. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think he makes the team. And kudos to whoever it is. And I suppose it must be Chris Greer that's finding these guys, you know, as priority free agents each year because they keep sticking. They keep sticking. They keep sticking. They keep sticking and making a contribution.
You know, he had three coverage snaps in the preseason game. They pulled him back into that zone, you know, drop from the defensive line coverage. And what was interesting to me is like, and obviously he's not here to cover anybody, but like the last time, or it might've been the last time he did it in the game. It was interesting. Like the communication and the recognition that you could see in his body language before the snap from the back view of the play is like, it was really interesting. Like he recognized something and he signaled to somebody else, and then he pulled himself back into coverage and got perfectly into the passing lane that the quarterback really wanted, you know, for the slant, you know, and he was, I mean, he was there, and it was not, you were not gonna throw that. And it's just like, that's kind of stuff interests me because it, like, it kind of just speaks of a general know-how, you know, or just a general aptitude for playing the game. And I think that he's, you know, I don't want to talk him up too much, obviously. He's a UDFA and frankly, he's looking at trying to make the team for the first time, right? You know, that's mm-hmm. that's his goal right now. But
what I love about him though is that, you know, this is ultimately essentially a three technique pass rusher, right? Mm-hmm. In high school, he was a tight end, he was a defensive end, he was the field goal kicker, but he's also a three-time state champion wrestler. Okay, so mm-hmm. 2014. I mean, this is mental as well. 2014, he was 182 pounds state champ. 2015, he was up 38 pounds to 220 state champ. 2016, he was up 55 pounds to 285 pounds and was state champion. So he was 35-5 at 182 pounds, 34-0 at 220, and 44-0 at 285 in 2014, 15, and 16. I mean, how do you win the state championship and then put on 65 pounds?
And still, you know, and do it.
Yeah. And he's a freakish athlete. He's no brute. He's a gazelle out there.
And be the field goal kicker.
And be the field goal. He was a good field goal kicker too. Yeah. He was I think I thought somebody said something like he was either perfect on extra points or like something like that. So I mean he could be an emergency extra point kicker for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think did Jason Sanders say today that Brandon Jones has taken some kicks as well?
Oh, was he?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Should I tell you what else? It wouldn't surprise me if they. This is the sort of thing Mike McDaniel would do. Mike McCarthy? What the fuck? Where did that come
McCarthy?
From?
McCarthy?
Yeah.
You go on vacation one time and for a couple of weeks and you come back thinking we're the Cowboys.
Stilly has also played fullback.
Mm.
A little fullback trap with him in the backfield. Do you know what I mean? A bit of hustle power. You can
not
see
above
that. I mean, I'm all over that shit.
I mean, the first option that way is going to be Christian Wilkins probably, but, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I mean, who's opposed to Stilly, Wilkins, and, you know, Mostert in the backfield on a big old jumbo set? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like it. They might as well get Rob Hunt back there and have somebody else at right guard.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. One guy that's for sure, and I guess if you notice the theme of the show today, it's one feel-good story to one feel-bad story. So we'll do the feel-bad story now. I'll give you the a little bit of good before we lead into the feel bad story. Alec Engold, he's gonna be a crowd favorite. He's the first guy to stand up to Christian Wilkins's trash talk all summer. And I don't know if you guys heard about it. It was the first fight of camp. It lasted all of 30 seconds, but Alec Engold got into Christian Wilkins' face. I guess after weeks and weeks of wearing the red jersey and just hitting people unnecessarily over and over again, he finally put on the white jersey. He took one, and then they got into it with Christian Wilkins. But a feel-bad story, Tanner Conner was really, really coming on. And talking about a guy who's a two-sport athlete, did you know he was a track and field star in high school?
I did.
Well, he seems to have a mysterious injury as well. And, you know, this team is not saying what it is, but he has not been seen in a couple of days. Mm. What do you make of this tight end position, Simon? And then I'm pretty sure we could get into the game very briefly. But what do you make of this tight end position? It's nobody can call it. Mike McDaniel says that he has to deprogram all the tight ends, and that this system is very, very hard on tight ends in the summer because they have to learn so much. But Mike Gesicki looks anything but a lock.
I think
not that they'll cut him, but that they'll trade him. Like if they traded him tomorrow, I wouldn't bat an eye.
I think it's the most interesting position group on the team. I would not, but I think it was fascinating that Gesicki played the other night. I've been told that he's really struggled to pick up the blocking situation. In terms of how he's supposed to block, both physically, both technique-wise, it's just been a problem. I think Chris has mentioned it a couple of times. Seathan Carter has kind of, you know, could make this team. We talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it privately in conversation or we talked about it on OnlyFins, but I think it was OnlyFins actually. But, you know, if Durham Smythe hadn't run a 4.82, you know, and been an absolute godder, you know, Durham Smythe essentially would back up George Kittle at the 49ers probably right now. He's an excellent blocker. He's a smart football player, doesn't commit penalties. He's got good hands. He is reliable. He can get open, all those sorts of things. The X factor in all this is Hunter Long. And you just wish if Long had just like, I think the Dolphins would feel significantly more comfortable about trading Mike Gesicki. You know, you trade Gesicki to a team like Green Bay or whatever. And I think if Tanner Conner had, you know, had not got injured, you just kind of think there might be an X factor as a fourth tight end, as a sort of H-back kind of kid. You have Carter and Long and Smythe. You know, George Kittle wasn't a superstar. George Kittle was a fourth round pick out of Iowa. Do you know what I mean? This wasn't this is not Kyle Pitts in terms of everybody just thought he was going to be a superstar from day one. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a guy that had to work at it. I don't know what McDaniel's thinking. I don't know what John Embry's thinking in terms of, you know, these guys, but, you know, if one of them has a feeling that, you know what, Alec Long might just be the guy, and you know, you'd know better than anybody, Alf, because you've been there every single day. We've not seen it. And it's not like, you know, Barry or Omar or, you know, David or Daniel or the guys that are there have talked it up a great deal. But you kind of feel like if Long just made a step, I would not be surprised to see Mike Gesicki. I would not be surprised to see Mike Gesicki traded before the start of the season. Not on any level. And I think the Dolphins, you know, it's difficult because if you trade Gesicki, you're looking for a starting offensive lineman probably, or you're looking for a starting corner. And the Dolphins, you know, or you're just trading him for a pick. Do you know what I mean? Because they obviously lost that other first rounder. So, you know, you get a third round pick from the Green Bay Packers or, a team that could use a flexible pass catching tight end. Then, you know, it just wouldn't shock me. And I thought it was fascinating he played last week, given that 22 players, essentially, if you include Byron Jones, got the night off. And it was indicative of, you know, your position is safe, whether that's to Javon, Christian Wilkins, you know, the running back, the, you know, Waddle, Hill, you know, you guys are good. Whereas Mike Gesicki was out there grinding, you know, I thought that was fascinating.
I think the preseason game was telling. I actually had this conversation with somebody who's been a source for me over the years and, you know, very connected to some of the higher ups, and they had the person I was talking to, they had a good point, which is that you know, the expectations are such this year, they're high, they're not waiting anymore. Like Stephen Ross and the people high up in the organization, they're not waiting anymore. You know, they're not waiting to rebuild or anything like that. And so So that offer for Mike Gesicki, if they're going to trade him, would have to be really compelling, because if they're, you know, they're down some injuries and, you know, so let's say Jalen Waddle is hurt and now it's Tyreek Hill and you're working with, say, Lynn Bowden or something like that. And Durham Smythe out there. And it's just, you know, Tyreek Hill is out there, but it's not looking like compelling enough to win and make and do damage in the playoffs. They're not going to console themselves by saying, well, at least we got a third round pick next year. You know, they're just not going to. So that offer for him would have to be really compelling, because there's no appetite to wait any longer. So, you know, say what you want about Gesicki and whether he's George Kittle, you know, he's not. Is he 100% for the system? Maybe he's not. One thing that you do know about him is that he's a unique player that can challenge defenses and produce on Sunday. And so I think that however they fit it, and they will ask the coaches to fit it together, you know, that offer may have to be pretty, and that's why he's ultimately why he's franchised, I think, is that they may have to, you know, roll with him in one capacity or another and count on him to help them win, because they're not just, but at least we got a pick next year. And so I think that I think it's interesting. I think it's pretty telling because yes, he was playing and that says something, you know, because a lot of the starters that have secured spots, you know, and aren't really competing for their spot in certain personnel groupings and stuff like that, they weren't playing and he was. So, and I think afterwards, Mike McDaniel had a very telling statement, saying, you know, essentially it's not business or it's not personal. It's business. You know, if we're not trying to send a message to anybody by having you play or not play, it's just where you are toward making the 53 man roster. And I think that it was telling in some ways in that he was out there, but it was also telling on the other, flip it around and say, it's telling he was first string, you know. When they go out there, it's one tight end personnel on the field. It was him, and there was no question about it. And when he came off the field is when the other starters came off the field. So he is clearly fighting. He is still clearly fighting challenges from his buddy Durham Smythe in certain personnel groups. But he is also still a starter, and I think that's interesting. But you know what actually concerned me more, and Simon was talking about it and bringing it up. Why was Hunter Long only on the field for 3 snaps? You know,
yeah, right?
And look at the pecking order too. You know, if Mike McDaniel is to be taken, you know, kind of very superficially about what he said about making the 53 man roster, then you're looking at a guy in Hunter Long who was only on the field, who had not only Mike Gesicki and Durham Smythe in front of him, but also had Seathan Carter in front of him, and also had Tanner Connor Connor in front of him as well. Like, Hunter Long only appeared on the field in the second half when it was 2 tight end personnel and Seathan Carter was the number one, you know? And so, and it was only 3 snaps. And so what is this about Hunter Long now? Because this is two straight coaching staffs, 2 consecutive coaching staffs that have ended up burying him. And it's starting to remind you, doesn't it remind you, Simon, Alf, doesn't it start to remind you of, like, you know, some other times that we've seen guys with talent that just find themselves, you know, for some reason.
Maxed out in college, you know?
Yeah, well, it just like, well, think of like a Kenyon Drake or somebody like that who we know is talented, who we know can do things on the football field. But like, for some reason, multiple coaching staffs here in Miami just seem to be uncomfortable with the guy. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you're starting to get that feeling about him. And
Kenyon Drake, it's multiple organizations. It's now his 4th organization.
It's multiple coaching staffs in Miami, and it's also multiple. What is it about Hunter? Like, why is a second coaching staff now burying him? Because he was buried.
But in especially that preseason. Especially as McDaniel said, that Long was on the 49ers, heavily on the 49ers radar, when they were, you know, when they were looking at the draft last year, you know, because he fits the scheme. He's a perfect scheme fit. You know, he should be a guy that develops into that player that they need. And, you know, he's another that just, yeah, three snaps is brutal. I mean, he's going to have to play a lot on Saturday night, or you kind of think, is he going to even make the team?
Yeah. 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 And a little bit of housekeeping. Last tight end traded, Hayden Hurst. Atlanta traded a second round pick and a fifth round pick for Hayden Hurst and a fourth round pick. So,
I mean, I don't know what you're trading for Hunter Long, but it's not.
No, I'm talking about Mike Gesicki. Like, yeah. I need that for Mike Gesicki. I need a second round pick then. If Hayden Hurst is getting you a second round pick, we better get a second round pick for Mike Gesicki, especially since it's going to be a Super Bowl contender. So we're talking about, what, 58th overall? You know what I mean? So if Green Bay wants Mike Gesicki, pony up, buddy. Give us a second. You know, I don't know. I don't think that a Super Bowl contender is going to give us a frontline offensive lineman. And I lied. We're not going to talk about the Raiders. Let's do 5 minutes on this offensive line. We're not going to do the Austin Jackson debate. But how do you see it just shaking out so far, Simon? The starting unit. You saw it in action, kinda. And
yeah,
that's
to be honest,
it.
I haven't really seen any of the game. So I'd kind of defer that one to Chris. But it kind of feels like it's as you were in terms of that. You know, Teron, Liam, Connor, Hunt and Jackson. And I think depth wise is the issue. You know, Teron Armstead's never stayed healthy. So who's playing left tackle if Teron goes down? Are they going to move AJ back there? Is Eichenberg going to play there? Greg Little, who's the guy that's going to play? Are they going to bring in a veteran guy? You know, so, and people were talking last week about, oh, you know, the backups, they can't play. The backups are terrible. You know, Panky and Keon Smith and these guys, they're awful. And Lionel Coleman isn't good enough. And that, you know, why haven't they got vets in? And I think the counter to that is the Dolphins have got to see what these guys are like. You've got to see them in live with live bullets, you know, because the vet guys don't need to be in right now. The vet guys don't need to come in and play 60 snaps against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Oakland Raiders. You know what I mean? If you're a veteran offensive tackle, I know he's just been signed, but if you're Dwayne Brown, for example, you don't need Dwayne Brown to come in. Like the Jets have got Dwayne Brown. They don't need him to come in and play 60 snaps on Saturday night because he's Dwayne Brown. He's a 15-year vet. You know, you don't need that. But the Dolphins do have to give these guys a chance to see what they're like up against, you know, other teams. And it's clear that Kyle Smith and Panky, you know, and Coleman probably aren't good enough, but you've at least got to give them the opportunity to play. Otherwise, you're not developing players. You're just signing retreads from off the street.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting before Chris gets in here, how the coach was asked about Lionel Coleman, and he kind of just volunteered, like, basically saying, oh, no, he's not the swing tackle. The swing tackle is Greg Little. But Greg Little, what was his line, Chris? That he didn't want to play him because he didn't want it to be a representation of the player.
Oh, he felt it would be a poor representation of the player to play with the injury that he was
back. We do know it's his back. Okay. Yeah. We know that.
Yeah. You can go out and get yourself an Eric Fisher or a Darrell Williams or a you know, a Mike Remmers or a Nate Solder or Bobby Massey or, you know, I mean, like, you could give Jason Peters a call if Teron Armstead goes down. Do you know? I know he's 40.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a guy that you know, and it may be that the Dolphins already spoken to Jason Peters and said, look, you know, if this happens, just keep yourself in shape, buddy, and you'll get, you know, if you still want to play, you know, so there are clearly guys out, you know, Sam Tevi, or there are guys out there. Do you know what I mean? It's I just don't see the point in bringing them in, playing them 60 games, especially the guys that fit the scheme, who know McDaniel or who know, do you know what I mean? I just... Me, that just doesn't make any sense at the moment. You've got to see what these young guys are like. And if they're not good enough, then Darrell Williams gets a call, or Eric Fisher gets a call, or, you know, Bulaga or Marcus Cannon or whoever. That's fine. But
I think Jason Peters would be an interesting name, wouldn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's interesting because I would say, though I would stipulate on Panky that they played him at center the entire game, basically. Right. And I actually thought it was pretty good, you know, for – never really liked him at all at any of the positions they tried, whether it was tackle or guard. And as center, it started to make a little bit more sense to me. It's a little bit, it reminds me a little bit of Dieter. Like, I never liked Dieter at guard, and I know he's played elsewhere before. And the only position that makes some sense to me is center for Dieter. And that's not to say that I think he's, you know, a great center. I think there are times that he shows some ability and you're kind of intrigued by it, but, you know, altogether, the whole package at center is not enough. And that's why they have Connor Williams there. But Pankey was a little bit more interesting to me as a player. He has not been interesting to me at all in any capacity that he's played with Miami, even as a tight end, when they bring him out as a sixth offensive lineman, until I saw him in that game as a center. So that's one thing. But you're right. You got to see Larnell Coleman at left tackle. It was because last year he played left tackle and right tackle. He looked, you know, okay at left tackle, and he looked, you know, atrocious at right tackle. And then this year, you know, hey, we're going to get him in at left tackle again and see if he can do it. He's got a massive frame, you know, he's got some advantages that way. Well, we got to find out. I personally, and I know that Simon, you're probably on board as well, would love to see Kellen Deitch play some more. And I think that there's more to be had. There's meat on the bone there. So, you know, we'll see what he can do when he's get with some more reps. As for Austin Jackson, you know, I thought that, the outing that he had was very average to maybe even a little below average. I mean, if you have to consider that, he could have easily been flagged for an obvious holding on the very first play. And, you know, I think that the refs were in preseason form. And there was another, I didn't even realize this until Alf, you brought it up, and we're actually interesting. We were arguing on OnlyFans about his performance. And then you brought up, well, he should have actually been flagged on this other play too. And I was like, well, there you have it. I thought that he's got to show more to make good on and show that the progress that he showed in practices is actually going to translate into the games, and that this ability that we think that he has, particularly because, you know, he's got the athleticism to the zone ability, that he's supposed to be a good fit for zone that way. Like, we have to actually see that though, because it wasn't there on the in the first game. You know, when he had to reach and get to a guy and get control of that front shoulder on a zone play or something like that, he couldn't do it. And he couldn't even keep the front shoulder when he had advantage on another place. Mm-hmm. That in the next or two season, that there's no reason that they're going to have to flip gears and maybe try and get Rob Hunt out there. I think he can. I'm not saying he can't. I just, you know, he's got more, there's more there. But Teron Armstead, obviously you don't need to see anything from him. Connor Williams, I'm surprised they didn't play him more because of the snapping issues that people have been talking about in training camp. You've talked about them as well, Alf.
Yeah.
You know, we need to put that to bed like that, you know, that we need to make sure that's not going to be an issue. So there's some things to shake out on the offensive line. I think that's a great point though, Simon. Like, if, you know, something hits the fan, yeah, they might just give Jason Peters a call or something like that.
I think you can look at that a corner as well, and you give someone like Joe Hayden a call, for example, you know, who can play outside. You keep Nick Needham inside. Means you don't have to start Noah. You got a veteran corner who, you know, Drew Rosenhaus has talked this summer about how he's had conversations with Chris Greer about Joe Hayden coming to Miami. And I think part of that conversation will be, you know, we get a week out and we don't think Byron Jones is good to go against the Patriots, then, you know, let's sign Joe Hayden, you know. You know, I could absolutely see that happening.
All right. On the way out here, in Tampa, it was really interesting being our coach, Mike McDaniel, being asked, oh, you know, are you going to play the ones, the twos? And he goes, well, obviously, I got together with Todd Bowles and we decided, yeah, you know, we decided on the way to proceed this week. And sure enough, they played their ones. Tampa and Miami played their ones pretty hard on Wednesday and Thursday. That's why I speculated, look, you're not going to see many ones play on Saturday, because they just took a beating on Wednesday and Thursday. To be noted, the Eagles are in town the 24th and the 25th. That is next Wednesday and next Thursday. It's a possibility that Mike McDaniel gets with Nick Sirianni and says, look, we're going to play ones on Wednesday and Thursday, which means he might not play anybody on Saturday. What's your gut feeling on who plays against the Raiders on Saturday, Simon?
I think more first teamers will play this game. I think they'll treat this a bit like the third preseason game back in the day when we had four games. Then you'll have starters playing against the Eagles, and I think it'll be scrubs for the final preseason game.
All right.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I think that they're kind of, I think in some of the things that we're talking about in practice and training camp, they're foreshadowing it a little bit. Like, as based on what the kinds of things that they're working on, like more real game situations and stuff. And I think Tua, you know, everybody's, is Tua going to play? Is Tua going to play? Yeah, I do. I think he's going to play. And so I don't think it's a great big mystery as people make of it. And I think, Simon, you're right. More starters are going to play this week. I don't know about the third game, but you're probably right. Bang on with that one too, which is that it's just going to be the scrubs at the end of it in the final game.
Although for next week against the Eagles, what do you feel like? What, second team goes hard, or they just dial it back completely and nobody goes hard next week?
Well, second team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the second team, they're still trying to shake out a lot of people. And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, we'll have another cut. Do we have another cut date even before that third game?
Tuesday. This Tuesday. No, we no, it's after the third game.
Oh, it's after the third game. Okay. In previous years, I think there was a cut date to like 65 before that fourth preseason game. So trying to figure that out. But yeah, I think they'll go it'll be a lot like this first game. It'll be the backups and then the third stringers, and they'll all be one last shot to compete for your spot, you know?
I wonder how they're going to play that on Wednesday and Thursday against the Eagles. I think you're both right. I think they'll go hard on Saturday, and Wednesday and Thursday, let the second teamers beat up on each other. I can't see, there's no way Edmonds gets carries on Saturday, and then he's running into the line on Wednesday and Thursday again, right before the season starts. Right. So yeah, I tend to agree that those 2 days against the Eagles might not be as entertaining as some fans may want it to be, but I'll be there and I'll be covering all of it. All right. That's it.
Wait. Can I just say before we go, that I'm a little disappointed. I think we're in preseason form and so, you know, we need to shape up, but Simon, you and I let Alf get away with, he said, my problem is I can't say no to anyone. We let him get away with, get ready for sex again.
Get ready for sex again. I mean, I didn't want to touch that, mate. I felt dirty just thinking about it.
And he also said, nobody's ever had it back to back. And we just let him get away with this. And we didn't say anything.
I just didn't want to dip my toe into that world, mate. It's too early. I'm still jet lagged. I might not sleep if I think about him saying that.
we need to get in regular season form. We need to
raise our game, buddy. We'll be ready week one, mate.
We'll be ready. We'll be ready.
Shit in week one. I'm going to be all over him like a cheap suit.
All right, and that's it. Try to enjoy the game on Saturday. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.